Good morning. For the French speakers, comment ça va? For the Spanish speakers, ¿cómo estás? And for all of you who don't speak any of that, good morning. Well, first of all, I want to start by thanking everyone for just how you're serving us a lot, and we are really indebted in being part of this family of God, driving us around, getting us food, cooking meals. I'm so grateful for everything you've done. I thought of myself, if I had arrived here and had no one to do all that running around, that would have been a challenge. But thank you for your love and for just the elders and brothers and sisters and anyone that has done anything, and for your prayers. Amen? Amen. Fantastic. Today we would like to talk about what will your role be in your transformation. We've been talking about making that choice, and we've talked about what it will take. But it must be understood that we have a role to play as individuals. The idea that you can just wake up and somehow God will fix you. That's magic. That's not of God. And I want to talk about that today a little bit as we go forward, right? My introduction here is Ecclesiastes chapter 7, 18. Before that, if you read 16, it says, it is not too good to be wise, to be over righteous or to be over wise. And I've wanted to discuss that, and I'll talk about it today. Sometimes as a people, we have our own wisdom and our own ways of righteousness and how we think about things. And yes, we come to church and worship God, but in the process, we move away from God and make those things the driving force of our worship. And gradually, you begin to drift. Very gradually, you begin to drift from God and have some spiritual narcissistic behavior because you do what you want to do based on your spiritual way of thinking. And so you have to be careful that you're not over-righteous, over-wicked. The point being is that you can make those the standards and not the word of God in your relationship with God. And then if you come on to 17, talks about do not be over-wicked or you'll die before your time. You fool, he says that. Now, I'm not saying you're a fool, but let me explain what it's all about. Well, you've had people say, I go to funerals and I've been to many. And I don't know if you say that here. People die and they say, God called him. I say, really? At 16, God called him? And when you listen to the story and what happened is that they were living a lifestyle that was going to end their life early. God didn't call you. You called yourself there. You took yourself over there. You understand that? So the point is, when you're overdoing these things, is you're getting away from God. So it says here, it's good to grasp one and not let go of the other. Yes, we need wisdom and righteousness. The man who fears God will avoid all extremes. It's these extremities that stop you from taking responsibility, that stop you from hearing God's voice, that stop you from really connecting in a relationship. And so you switch to perfection because that's the way you function. That's not the way God functions. God wants you to relate with him so that with your imperfection, you can have a relationship going. Does that make sense? Well, we set up all these standards and make ourselves so insecure, so afraid. Why? Because we have some extremities in our lives. We carry them. We bring them in parenting. We bring them in our relationships at work. We bring them in all kinds of things. And if you don't take good reflection of self and how you need to connect with God so the transformation can happen, you may sit in your extremities and think that that's okay. It's not okay. You're walking away from God gradually. So let's start with our first point here. Hold on. Entrust yourself to God. This was in 1 Peter chapter 22:23 says, he committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. That's Jesus. and you can read the paragraph how he comes to this point, that Jesus was going through all this, committed no sin. When he got to the cross, they were howling insults at him. He did not retaliate. You see, the way as Christians, what happened to us is that sometimes something nasty happens to you. Something painful happens to you. How do you respond to that? I think the way we deal with most, the normal human pain, you have pain to protect you from damage, right? In other words, if you touch a hot stove, your hand will get burned, so you'll learn not to do that. But when we go through tough times in life, how do you deal with that? Do you now say, I'm never going to get into fellowship anymore because this happened? That's not the principle, though. Jesus, when he was going through the cross, and we know what happened. Before that, he was praying a lot. He prayed 3 times, begging God to take the cross away from him, but eventually says, let your will be done. So he got to that point, and we see here that he says, when the hollow insulted him, he did not retaliate. Question, are you retaliating in your heart? You hold back your heart. You don't give your heart. You're not really excited in connecting with God. You just hold back. I mean, if you are in this world, if you've lived to a point of, as kids, I disagree a lot, but most people are hurt by the time they're 16 years old. You have been hurt before. But not just hurt. Hurt is, okay, something happened. I'm sorry it hurt you. 2 days later, you'll be okay. But many of us are harmed. It changed the way we think about God. It changed the way we view the body of Christ. Totally transformed us. So we hold back. We are afraid. We are shocked in some system where we don't give totally our heart. We kind of give but are watching. I'm asking you to come to this place where you say, God, let your will be done. Not retaliating. When he suffered, he made no threats. How do you take suffering? I know we all have our own, it may be big or small, but we're all suffering in some form or fashion. How do you handle that? Do you allow that to harden you, to embitter you, to make you very angry, upset? Or do you instead entrust yourself to God? Suffering is an amazing quality that God allows to happen in our lives. It can build your character, bring you closer to God, or it can build walls. Huge walls that you don't want anyone to come through. And I know that for some of us, we can hold back and not entrust ourselves to God and wonder, why don't I have this connection with God? Because suffering for you put you back some ham and you will not connect anymore. Your experiences of life, what you call reality, has superseded the power of God. So even though we talk about it Sunday in, Sunday out, Wednesday in, Wednesday out, it doesn't resonate with you in terms of this is transformational. Yeah. It is good. You agree with it. Beyond that, nothing happens. It's a good thing. We like it. But you will not go beyond your pain. Pain is powerful. It can hold you captive for a long time. Pain can make you resentful for a long time. Pain can cause all kinds of diseases for a long time. Pain can cause all kinds of disconnection emotionally, mentally, and create extremities in our thinking, in our emotions, and how we handle life. And all that's the type why we have to ask ourselves, why are we not moving? Most likely, it's because we've not dealt with these things well. We've not entrusted ourselves to Christ. When you entrust yourself to Christ, you forgive. That's what Jesus did on the cross, right? He let go. Amen? Yeah, you struggle. It's not a question that you will not struggle. You will struggle with difficulty. You'll struggle with emotions. But you let go. Eventually say, God, I trust you. The idea that because I'm Christian, I'll not struggle with emotions is a fallacy. You will struggle. But you need to struggle with God and wrestle in prayer and get in the Word of God and eventually come to a place, I surrender, God. That place doesn't happen overnight, though. It's a question of suffering. You need some suffering to happen. I know it's not always the best thing to hear, but it happens sometimes. and instead entrust himself to who judges justly. Why? Why is it so important that we allow ourselves to go, we allow what God has allowed to happen in our lives so that we can turn that and connect with him? How? Why is that so important? This is why. Here's my illustration. Rowing hard doesn't help if the boat is heading the wrong direction. Because, okay, something happened. Instead of you forgiving and letting go, now you're working so hard, it will never happen to me again. I don't think you've learned. I think you've hardened. There are things you don't want to happen to you again. They are. But you want to come out of that a better person, not resentful. And you want to come out of that more trusting God, more entrusting yourself into God, not going back to that. However, that happens well when you begin to connect with God in a level you realize, this was the lesson that I needed to learn. So if you keep pushing away, you're going the wrong direction. No, come back and trust yourself to God and let him steer it according to his plan. In other words, you want to be able to hear God on a day-to-day basis. I don't know, but I sometimes have difficulty of just sleeping because I'm trying to hear God. I'm not having difficulty of some stress. I'm just saying something is not right. God, I need to know what needs to happen here. And that during that time, I'm either staying up praying or just reading up or sometimes just thinking through and praying and just saying, God, show me what I need to do when this happens. If that happens, for the most part, I tend to come up with a clear mind at the end of the morning, not of the night, rather. Does that make sense? So you need to wrestle. Transformation has some wrestling to happen in our lives so that we can begin to turn around. Let's look at the Bible. Jesus wrestled before the cross, right? Huge wrestling. Prayed and prayed and then transformed. Moses wrestled with God, trying to say, I'm not coming, wild, get Aaron, all kind of stories, but he came anyway. Eventually, God worked it out, right? And we know the story of Abraham. We can go on and on and on. There are many people that wrestle. That's what we need to understand. That's what it takes to entrust yourself to God. Secondly, respond to God. Respond to God. Matthew 21, 28, 31. This is a story you all know well, but let's read. But what do you think about this? A man with two sons told the older boy, son, go out and walk in the vineyard today. The son answered, no, I won't go. But later he changed his mind and went anyway. Then the father told the other son, you go. And he said, yes, sir, I will. But he didn't go. Which of the two obeyed his father? They replied, the first. Then Jesus explained his meaning. I tell you the truth. Corrupt tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you do. Let's talk about this for a moment. We had two sons. One son says yes, but does nothing about it. The second son says no, but changes and makes a different decision. That father is our God. Those sons are in here. Those daughters are in here. And some of the sons and daughters that are in here became disciples, but for some reason don't want to do everything God tells them to do. For some reason. They say, Jesus is Lord. They came into the kingdom of God. And for some reason, they argue with him and have their own battle emotionally, mentally. Don't just give to God totally. You follow that. And then there are people that are out there hurting, looking for God. They come here and they cannot imagine that a church like this exists. And they make that U-turn like nobody's business. You know, if you've been a Christian for a long time, can I speak to you, please, with your permission? There is danger of being cynical when you're being around a place that has been good and gone down and been good and gone down and sometimes not improved much. You can get cynical around that. You can just become cynical about that and not really and become that son that says, yes, I will do it, but you never get to it. You procrastinate. You never just say, I will do what I need to do. Whether it's parenting, you don't just get on with it because you procrastinate about it. Whether it's marriage, you procrastinate about that. Whether it's just relationships with one another, you just don't get on with it because you have experiences that say otherwise. So you don't believe God, you believe your experiences more than God. And so you're captive of experiences and not of the Word of God. And then you try rules. Rules cannot connect you to God. I can tell you that. What connects you to God is a relationship with God. And experience cannot connect you to God. It is good. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. You need the experience. Amen? Don't get me wrong. But you need a connection with God to transform. Now, if you're a young Christian, keep transforming and don't get to this place where you get stuck. But that place of being stuck is a place of growth. It's a place. When you're stuck, you're in a place of growth. You have choices to make, decisions to make, to connect with God. And that's when you begin to check and ask God, how can I grow and transform? It's very easy to settle to a church culture that goes to church on Sunday, comes to church on Wednesday, but not much happens beyond that. We don't hear God. We don't hear anything that is transformational in the way we think. We just think money. We think future. We think all kind of things. And let me talk to those of us men who are in the middle age. I'm in the same boat with you. And you can panic a little bit at middle age. What was the point of living? Why am I here? Why is my life not as I planned? I plan to be done with debt by now. I plan to be done by now, but nothing is on schedule as you planned. And you can just throw God on the side and start doing your own thing. And it affects the family so much. If you're a father, it really affects the families a lot when we go that direction. It affects the children. It affects your wife. It affects, you create instability when you're that way because you throw away God. Though you come to church, you're not really connected. And they feel it and they see you. That is something you have to be careful as you handle it. And this is the time you need God more. You know, I don't know when God calls, but I hope to be around when I'm 90. Now, if that doesn't happen, it's all good. But you don't need to worry about when he calls. Connect with him. Have a relationship with God. That is entrusting yourself to God. Yes, you need to be responsible with your finances. Yes, you need to be responsible with all you do. But not to the extent you lose your spiritual life. And that's true for singles. That's true for teens. That's true for anyone in God's house. Amen? Not responding is a response. We are equally responsible for what we don't do. The idea that I don't have to do anything, that's okay, you're still responsible. Amen. It's hugely challenging for me. I realize I cannot just assume that I cannot do anything, whether it's raising my children, whether it's being a good husband, whether it's serving you. I cannot just sit around saying, I don't have to do anything. I have a responsibility. We all have a responsibility in how we connect with God. You have to take that initiative to get on with connecting with God, studying the Bible, praying, asking questions, wanting to learn, wanting to grow. That is your initiative that you have to take. If you don't do that, it will not happen. But it's easy to switch on the other side and get all angry and upset. And blame society. Blame circumstances of the day. There's a lot we can blame. When it's all said and done, it's your life. It's my life. We have to take responsibility for it. Let's finish here. Let God walk in you. It may seem that easy, but it's not that easy. Let God walk in you, as in inside you. Let God touch your heart, touch your way of thinking, touch your emotions. It's very important. Let God walk in you. Philippians chapter 2. And this, it says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Some versions say with reverence. So then it says here, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. We have to be careful about taking responsibility and letting God walk in us. Because taking responsibility doesn't mean, okay, I do it all. Taking responsibility is allowing God to walk in us. It's getting vulnerable. Vulnerable is being in a place where you can really talk about the things that you're feeling and going through in a safe place. So then I ask the next question. Do you have friends you can be vulnerable with?
Amen.
Do that with a guy you don't know well. You need someone you know well, someone that knows you well. I hope your relationship, the one another relationship, I don't know if you call them mentorships, all discipling, whatever you call it, that you have a good relationship that you can connect and you can be vulnerable and know that you'll get help.
Amen.
That you can say, I'm going through this, and you'll get healthy help. All right? Truth and love.
Good.
That you will get that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very good.
But you will not do that if you don't build friendships.
Yeah. Right.
And I can tell you this. We are busy. I've been only here 3 weeks, and I look at how everybody runs it. I'm like, okay. And I say, I think you need to realize the most important thing is your relationship with God. And take a moment and just slow down.
Amen.
The way I understand it, it's not going away. That's the way I understand it. I need to do the most important things, but I don't have to do it all in the same day. It's almost like we're on a stressor system. I understand high-pressured living. I lived in a city like that once, and I don't want to live in that too much. It does something to you. I'm asking you, though, to get your values right around this and ask yourself, you know, he's saying to them, in my absence, much more. I mean, let's talk about your private victories. How is that going? Do you even have time to pray, as in properly pray in the morning? Do you really get time in your private life to pray?
Amen.
Not microwave prayers. But I'm not going to put on you the guilt of the length of prayer either. I'm not going there. I'm just asking you, do you pray? That's the question. Do you pray, really? When is the last time you took time to pray? I'll pray on the... On my way to work. I'm not sure that's prayer. That's, you're trying to get to work. You're just saying, God, help me out here. When is the last time you really took time to read? In his absence, when you're not in the... Just to read your Bible for you? To connect with God? Why are you reading what you're reading? I always go there. How does that transform you? That's important. Walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's your life. When it's all said, you stand before God. But my role here is to encourage you to really connect with God. You cannot transform by rules and regulations. You transform by a relationship. I cannot give to my wife... If she's ordering me, okay, rule number one, you must come home by 6. If rule number two, you must sit on the table by 7. It's not going to work. But if I love her the way I do, I say, okay, darling, what time is dinner? I'll be coming. I'm walking out and being there. Because there's a relationship there. But his rules doesn't work. Long time, you get tired, fed up. You feel judged, controlled, and all kind of things that can come with that kind of setup. So you have to take responsibility to do your private beading of relationship with God, connecting there. Then for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. When you have a relationship, he'll walk with you. You'll begin to hear his voice. When you have a relationship, you begin to hear God speak to you clearly through prayer, through relationship, through conversations, all kind of ways that God does that conversation. And it'll begin to work in your life. So let's end here. Sorry. You say to God, I have never seen you provide for me. God says to you, you have never trusted me. That's what she's, and you can read, she's a good writer. Many of us, this is what's going on. We say, God, you don't do what you say you'll do. But God says, you've never trusted me. When you trust God, you have your own time limits. God, I want you to do this by midday. What happens when midday comes and nothing happens? Okay, God, you're out of the window. I come back to my ways of doing things. You know, you can ask God to do something for you and he'll do it 2 years later. That happens. Or you can ask God to do for you something in 2 years and he'll do it in 2 months. Entrust yourself to God. And when he says, wait, I'm coming through, be patient. Wait on God. If you can wait on God, sometimes you've done everything there is to do. Pray and wait on God. Not with anger, not with resentment, with joy. Delight yourself in God. Desires of your heart. Amen? But that is your responsibility. That no one can do that for you. I can't come and do that for you. Nobody can do that for you. You will have to make that choice. God bless you.
Amen. What an encouraging message. My biggest takeaway from the message today is that I have to take personal responsibility for my own transformation. I can't leave it up to my wife, to the brothers and sisters, but it's going to be me who has to stand before the judgment seat of God. Church, I have one announcement, and then we'll pray and close. We have our annual directory for 2016 that's being updated starting today. So we have our brother Andreas. He will be outside of the theater taking photos, family photos, individual photos, and he will start today. And the last Sunday that he'll be taking the photos will be April 10th. So please, you know, be ready to get your photo for the directory so that we can get those out possibly by the end of April. Amen? Let's pray and we'll close. Dear God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, so much, Father, for this day, God, for the messages, Father, for the Sunday school class, God, for the communion, Father, for the sermon, God. Truly, you are an amazing God. God, help us to entrust ourselves to you. God, help us to respond to you in a worthy manner. And help us to allow you to work in us to do incredible things so that we can impact this world, Father. God, we thank you so much, Father, for just bringing us all together today. God, I pray that you will just fill us with the knowledge of your will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and help us to be that light, Father, as we leave Meadow Creek High School today, and God, to live a life that is worthy of the calling that we receive. We love you so much. We're so thankful and grateful, Father, for this time to meet together, to give you glory, honor, and praise. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.